Well, we didn't record a second intro.
We told you and everything.
What?
We told you.
We were saying, like, should we record an intro? And you were like, no.
Yeah, but I wanted to wait until more time had passed.
Okay.
So now we can look back in retrospect. It's going to be like the angry side of things. The first one was like, yeah, we had such a great time. Second part is, oh, this was a really awful schedule or whatever, and this film sucked so horribly, and this person's going to hate us for it and going to send people out to break our kneecaps.
I just wanted you guys to accumulate some, like, news and stuff. Like, anything new with you? Big smelly Joey? No.
You smell?
Well.
Oh, well, I should say we're in a... Where the fuck is this hotel?
It's in Dunleary.
Royal Marine Hotel in Dunleary.
Yeah, see, I know we're in Dunleary.
Oh, sorry, I thought you didn't know we were in Dunleary.
I know what town we're in, just not... No, and...
We're on location. Oh my god.
We are on location, that's so cool.
Yeah. Usually we record it in the kitchen. No,
slash living room.
Oh, what's the name?
Kitchen slash bathroom.
What's the name of the thing?
The Underground Film Festival.
Oh, wait, I know.
That's a shit name.
Okay. You guys a film playing here. Ali was supposed to come.
Ali is feeling very ill and she needs to recuperate because she has work tomorrow.
Richard thinks there's carvery.
I hope there's carvery. Just food, anyway. Just some sort of bar menu.
Doesn't look like there's carvery, though.
Yeah.
I think you're crazy.
I might be. I want carvery. You're
hallucinating carvery.
Just seeing hams everywhere.
What's what are you talking about? Giant talking ham. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
So, Peter, you just saw Sodium Party, and you didn't see yourself in it.
No. I saw you. I saw your shirt and your hair.
I saw Michael Agnew.
Yeah.
Peter used to have a beautiful head of hair.
I saw Connor.
Oh, yeah.
But he yells at someone.
Everyone seems to know Connor. That's weird.
Everyone knows Connor.
I don't know anyone, though, so don't blame me.
Well, you knew Peter, and he didn't know himself, so it's all good.
And I know
Brendan
and Rob Swan as well.
Like
I
everyone
saw
else.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, like, everyone knows Sue from around Biffy.
Hmm.
Because he was just everywhere. He was always everywhere. Like, there was three of them. He had the time turner.
He's a bit like that in Swansea as well.
Time tuner.
Swansea.
Yeah, Swansea. Ugh. You'd have to be insane to like Swansea.
Swansea sucks ass.
You'd have to, like, you know, literally have mental problems to like Swansea.
I feel like it's the kind of person who would also think that at the end of the signal they were still on Earth.
Imagine.
Hi, Ollie.
Imagine not being from Swansea and supporting their football team.
Yeah, that'd be really weird, especially if you tweeted about it, like, all the time. Like, you were trying to be a proper lad, but everyone knew you weren't a proper lad because you were, like, super gay.
Whoa, Joey, don't. Okay, there's claps going on in there, so they're finishing up.
Hooray, we better get started on this, quick.
Yeah, what's your fucking news, you dumb bitch?
Well, UK Horror Scene's been down, so all my Fright Fest coverage has kind of been put on hold.
It's still down?
It's still down. It's been down for about a week because they're switching servers.
I thought they needed, like, 2 days for it to propagate.
I don't fucking know. But Finn Jones, star of Last Showing and Game of Thrones, shared my review of The Last Showing on his blog and referred to me as a he. Thank you, Finn Jones. Appreciate
completely
that, man.
100% accurate.
Rewatching his interview, I'm not shocked he said that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I've been doing those, but because it's, like, UK Horror Scene's been down...
She looked
like,
kind of like Glenn Danzig, but without the muscles.
Oh, anyway. My God, how dare you? I have... just as many muscles as Glenn Danzig and more. Oh, by the way,
when was the last time you looked at Glenn Danzig? He's like
Him and Doyle. I'm more muscly than Doyle, at least, because he's a big flabby flab.
What, Doyle?
Or is that Jerry? One of them's a flab.
Doyle is the one who looks like he's on steroids.
Michael's reaction to us being straight edge is my favourite reaction ever.
What was that?
That he's not used to people being straight edge who aren't at Fugazi gigs going brrrr
and skinhead
doing the axes with a big skinhead.
Well, he is well used to the culture of it all.
Fair play.
He's
fair
seen
play.
Everyone.
Fair play.
Yeah. Yeah, me and him are here at the Underground Cinema Film Festival representing.
Yeah, you are.
We're very obvious because there's not many people.
Represent,
represent yo.
Have you seen much here?
No, that was the first film I'd seen there that I walked out of.
It's Sunday.
Yeah. Michael came to a talk, but my car broke down, so I had to look after that.
Ah, it sucks.
Oh, well, it went for a service. I have no news, though. I mean, I know in a couple of weeks I'll be shooting something. That's about it.
Yeah, I got a new project, too, but you've...
No, I don't really have anything to talk about. I'm boring.
We're boring
This
right
was
now.
My exciting news. It's kind of cool that we're here doing that.
It is really cool.
Anyway, so yes, Peter, what's your news?
Go on, Peter.
Oh, yeah, I'm working on something for PS Vita.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure on any of the legal stuff, but I'm just going to be doing art. Why did I put my fucking face away from
I was just wondering.
From my phone when I said that, but... it's like spaceman stuff.
That's cool.
So that'd be fun to do. My friend is like, I don't know if you'll be into this, but like it's kind of Star Trek-y. I'm like, I just got finished watching every
perfect
every timing. Single fucking episode of it. So
I love when things work out like that. I love it when a plan comes together. It's an A-Team reference.
I know.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so we saw the film, and there's tons of people I know in it. It's just weird, because I was like, I know this place, I know that person.
Yeah.
And then there were people I'm like, I don't know that person.
Yeah. That's always kind
of
weird.
Like a bunch of the girls I didn't know, and I was like, that's strange.
Yeah. People you know, who you, and then people you don't know, and places you know, and yeah. It feels like when you know a certain amount of people, you should probably know everyone.
And like a couple of times where they walked north across the Haypenny and ended up on the south side.
It's all a dream. So, it was all a dream, eh? So, wait, what did the cop do?
What? I don't get that. I don't understand.
So, this is back to Fright Fest, then.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're talking about a different fucking bunch of movies. It's like the second half. I think I got day one and two fit in there.
Cool.
So it's about 2 hours, I think it was.
Fucking hell. I mean,
or an hour and a half. This is the other hour and a half.
Cool.
Which is just all the last day. I don't know how we did 2 days in the intro and got it that long or that short.
I think our intro might have been an hour long.
Probably.
It was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Christ, why don't you cut it down? We don't know what we're talking about. Talk shit
it's
over here.
Nonsense. The most unhorrific horror podcast there is.
That is so mean of you, okay? There's way worse than us.
Yeah, there's like that fucking movie crypt show.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Shit.
Who even are they? Right? Right?
I love you, Adam Green.
Did I even
mention love you.
I watched Citizen Toxic? I did.
You did, you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah. There's also some weird...
I got a Toxic Blu-ray on the way. What up?
There's some weird
from Mark. Shout out to Mark.
In there.
What's in there?
Like James Gunn's in it.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love him.
It's like a doctor.
Oh, it turns out it was Slither that I had on the DVR, so that was stupid. I thought it was Splinter, remember? Ow!
My you didn't watch
there he is.
You didn't watch Reaper Man.
So, here's the thing.
So here comes part two, woohoo!
Oh, okay, I guess we're cutting that short then. Fucking...
Swallow this.
It's Canadian.
So, well, that was the end of our Friday. So, moving on to day two,
Friday,
or sorry, day three.
Friday.
Gotta get down on Friday.
Hello, 2012.
People in the front seat, people in the back seat.
We had quite a long Saturday.
We did, go on.
We started off quite early with Bad Milo.
Which was awesome! And you'd already seen it, but it was so awesome.
Yeah, it was. I knew it was a fun film, but it was well worth seeing it again with an audience.
Definitely. That's another one where the creature effects are really good.
It was kind of, if you like anything like Gremlins or Critters or whatever, you'd probably enjoy this film an awful lot. Plus a lot of poop gags, a lot of bum wrecking.
Peter has to see it, you're going to love it.
I think
it's
kind
so
of
cute.
Like.
Yeah. So cute.
Yeah, such a good film. Like, it was...
Have you...
Patrick Warburton's in it.
Just to jump off the derail this. Have you seen that movie about the guy and his dick, and his dick becomes attached and turns into a different man?
What?
No.
What's that?
There's a trailer for it somewhere. I can't even remember the name of it.
But like, dick
they're
man.
They're both interested in the same girl or something, but he has no dick, and the dick is like, I want to fuck her.
What?
Yeah, it's...
Oof. Well, I loved Bad Milo. Love.
Yeah, go Google dick movie there.
Bad Milo has a lot of people who are involved in Community in it. What's her name? Gillian...
Anderson.
Guy. Is that her name?
No.
No, that's your one from X-Files, isn't it?
Yep.
No, hold on, I have her name here. Where is it? No, this is not nearly as handy as I thought it would be. Oh, it was on screen too, was it? It's been out for quite a while in the US. It's on Netflix and stuff like that already in the US. Gillian Jacobs from Community, the guy who, I can't remember his name, but he had glasses, overweight, curly hair, kind of a lisp, who's always in Community.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it as well. It has that kind of feel to it in a lot of ways. It's a lot of kind of slapstick humor. It's not exactly realistic humor,
no.
But it's fun. There's the father-son relationship. There's
Patrick Warburton is the boss, and he's awesome.
As Ken Marino plays a guy who has, essentially, he has a butt demon. So whenever he gets angry or anything happens, you know, his id comes out and does his subconscious will. Regardless of whether he likes it or not.
Zombies!
Turtles are going crazy.
They haven't moved back to the heaven.
I haven't.
Do you have food left?
There's a little bit of food.
I will get some. I need to go to the shop and get carrots.
Okay.
Okay, keep going, keep going.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what else there is to say about it. Again, it's just a fun film, a real crowd film. It's better best watched with a group of people.
For sure.
It's a bit stupid, but that's the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not slow or anything like that. It's 85 minutes, so it does the trick for what it needs to do. It's a party film, stupid, fun, comedy. Yeah.
I thought it was really good as a creature feature.
Yeah.
A really strong creature feature.
Yeah.
And a really strong modern creature feature.
Yeah.
Next up.
Next up, I went to see the short film showcase. So I'll look at that quickly. I'm trying to think of notable ones. It wasn't actually too long. She, which Chelsea Burden, which we did Fright Fest with last year, she's co-directing on that. And that has Fiona Dourif in it.
Mm-hmm.
There was
Wait, do you guys know Fiona Dourif?
No, over.
Who is Fiona Dourif?
Fiona
Brad
Dourif.
Dourif.
Brad Dourif's daughter, who looks exactly like her.
It's no one who's gonna hear this and be upset that I make fun of her dumb name, is it?
Probably not.
Okay then.
What else do we have?
Wait.
Not a monkey.
Andy's messaging me about the video.
No, so then we had Selkie, which is
it's about a Selkie.
It's about a kind of mermaid yoke. Is that a Selkie?
A Selkie is an otter that turns into a woman a lot.
That's relatively close.
It's an Irish and Scottish myth.
She's more of a mermaid yoke in it, but very, very creepy looking. It's got Emily Booth, you know, the kind of horror stalwart. Her brother directed it, which is a bit awkward because there's a few kind of nudie scenes.
They're like proto mermaids before there was mermaid myth.
All right, well it's very accurate name. Trying to think, Call Girl, which was, I think, might have been directed by someone who had something to do with Tom Six, has Lawrence Harvey.
Can't stand him.
It's all one shot.
Is it scary?
No, it's very quick. It's essentially a very obvious joke of him with a woman coming over and then he's a killer, blah, blah, blah.
That's it?
That's pretty much it.
Jeez.
Ghost Train, which is an Irish short.
Woo, Ireland!
The acting, which is rubbish, but apart from that, it is a great short film. Very glossy.
Is it set on the old Ghost Train there?
It's set at a ghost train. I was expecting it to be a proper big train thing, but it's not. It's like a kind of ghost train ride. And you don't ever go into it, you're just outside, and they put the coin in, and their friend goes missing and stuff.
That's stupid! I want to go in.
I want to go in too. But it is actually a very, very good film, shockingly. That is one well worth chasing up and enjoying. I don't want to say anything else about any of your shorts. So, you went and saw...
What did I see?
All Cheerleaders Die.
I'm not talking about that film.
No?
No, next.
Oh, no, I have something to say about All Cheerleaders Must Die.
What?
It's just All Cheerleaders Die.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of Surf Nazis Must Die.
Actually...
Sorry, I'll come back over here to the mic. No, so Sarah put up a thing about that.
She
tweeted out about it. She said, like, avoid this movie unless you're 13 years old. To which I genuinely asked, is that a recommendation? Because for me, would be my way of recommending something because I play with Lego. To which they just butted in and started being like, hell yeah, it is, woo's out!
Well, it was. We had cheerleaders in the screen who did like a little thing before it, and that was more exciting. I literally told you this at Fright Fest.
I didn't think you told me about cheerleaders.
Yeah, I said there were cheerleaders there, and the whole
really
thing was better than the film.
I think I would have remembered
that's
that.
Super lame.
I really did, but it's okay because it wasn't.
I think cheerleaders are lame anyway.
To be honest, it's not the worst I've seen. It thinks it's a lot cleverer than it is, and it's really not that clever. And as Sarah pointed out, like, the fact that there's a lesbian, and they think it's, like, a big deal, and...
So, like, they ended up following me and her, and then...
They get mad at you?
She got mad at them for doing that, and then I was like, whatever. But then they started doing that thing where they unfollow you and refollow you.
Yeah, like Jessica Cameron does.
So I was like, right, okay, let's block these guys, because... So... I haven't seen your movie, guys. Don't be dicks on Twitter.
Next thing we both saw was Showpieces.
which was really fucking weird.
Yeah, that's the Alan Moore. It's kind of a collection of short films.
Alan Moore is like Peter, but older.
He is so going to be you when you're older, Peter. I've always heard some crazy stories about him, but yeah. He was actually ridiculously listenable. He's a kind of a bitter man and all, but in a good way.
In a nice, funny way, like Peter.
It's like he tells it as it is, you know? So he's very enjoyable. It's, again, three short films kind of stitched together. They're all thematically linked. Two of them are more than thematically linked. The first one is about a girl who gets herself all dolled up and...
To play a sex game. Involving asphyxiation, yeah.
The second one is essentially purgatory, where you do see that character from the first one there.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of a devil character. We're following another man who... Do we find out how he died? All we know is he's coming off the rain, it's a pub/burlesque place where people, it's like a purgatory. People are kind of stay there. They're kind of suited to what happened to them, the way they died.
It's like at the end of time kind of deal.
Yeah.
A little bit. But it's very well done. And the last part is also along those kind of lines as well.
Peter's giving up and leaving.
Fucking podcast. I don't want to do this anymore. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
You don't beat
that was an equal amount of, I had to make sure I said fuck you to both of you the same amount of times. Fuck!
Go on.
Sorry. It is, where did I leave off? Yeah, so it's kind of a purgatory area. You're following the one guy who's coming off the streets. He's kind of having to adjust to the fact that he's there. There's a lot of grotesque characters. There's a clown who, you know, in his life he was a kind of clown in character, but now he doesn't. Now he's in his purgatory, he has to be a clown.
Mm-hmm.
There's a threat of the guy who we followed in being eaten alive, being eaten by, was it some sort of Egyptian kind of god? I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, but a man who eats people. Follow you whole, wouldn't he?
It was very.
He starts at your feet.
It was very glossy. It was very cool. It was very.
Surreal and weird.
Yeah, it kind of made you feel very dirty while watching it.
Definitely. It was a tough watch.
It kind of dampens any sort of, you know, love of humanity while you're watching it. Which I'm sure is the intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Moore seemed to be right behind the whole film idea because it's not something being adapted for a film. It was something he'd written for a film, and he made a big difference saying, you know, that's why he didn't like his adapted works, is that they worked as a comic medium, they didn't work as a film medium.
Yeah, which I kind of agree with, to be honest.
I think there's certain extent for some of them.
Like what?
I quite like V for Vendetta. I've never read the graphic novel of it.
I like it. I don't love it.
I hear League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is really bad, and I'm not going to argue, but...
Yeah.
I can understand maybe it's not his intention with it, but, you know, there's always an audience for some of those things.
Mm-hmm. But he was a great guy.
He was. He was very interesting, very hilarious. They're trying to make it into a feature film and then a TV series as well.
Mm-hmm. Which would be cool.
Was it going to be called The Show?
Yeah, The Show.
Yeah. So it felt very long.
It did feel very long. And you said yourself you didn't know where one had stopped and the next one started.
I drifted off a little bit during it. I drifted off between that section, but the first section was very obvious, very different from the second section.
I think I preferred the first section.
Yeah, I loved the first section. I think if it was a collection of shorts, that would have been one I would have actively seeked out and kind of went, okay, everyone should watch it and enjoy this because this is amazing.
I'm sorry.
Sot.
Yeah, Richard. Learn how to talk, yo.
Anyway.
Sorry, I put on jeans that actually have buttons in them now.
Okay.
I don't feel like they're falling down the whole time.
Next
after that was... Oh, big one. Digging Up the Marrow.
Which is our big pick for the entire weekend.
Mm.
Digging Up the Marrow is...
Digging Up the Marrow is Alan Green's new film.
Oh, that's
what
I get.
You putting a pen for your ear?
Yeah.
Ew.
So we got to have a quick interview with Adam Green before.
Which was awesome. Favorite interview again.
Even with the microphone's been pulled out.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about... the guys you're next to?
What guys are... Oh.
The dude in the fedora?
Yeah, he was a twat.
On the red carpet, or do you want to leave that? Do you know where they're from, actually?
No, no idea. A vlog, anyway.
I saw a picture of them, but I still can't figure out what the hell he has to do with anything.
It was definitely a vlog, because he was trying to intimidate us by asking us if we were from a particular vlog, and we were saying no. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with being a vlogger, at all.
No, he was just a bit of an asshole.
I think he was very misogynistic. I was apart from Karen Auden, I was the only woman on the red carpet. There was also the Fright Fest girl. She was... No, there was a guy this year. So it's me and Karen Norton were the only girls. And they had two girls that they would swap, but they were just eye candy. So when we were originally trying to set up for Adam Green, who we do know...
which we should mention, we arrived into Leicester Square.
And he was the first person we met, but typically. But we, you know, we know Adam Green. We know him from last year and lovely guy. And
oh, yeah, I remember that. I got a text from you and it was like, we met Adam Green. I was like, already?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's a sweetheart. We know him and we would have, you know, we chatted with him for a while as well. But when we were doing this interview, we were preparing for it and there weren't that many people there because as the weekend goes on, less and less people are on the red carpet. And this guy, for some reason, was standing on top of us.
Mm.
And Richard actually, I was trying to sort of nudge him and Richard, which is very sad, Richard had to step in and say, you know, when we do the interview, she's going to need to stand out because she's the presenter.
Mm.
And, you know, and I'm going to need to be next to her. And he was very rude about it. And then you said to him, you know, we'll step back when they were after us.
Mm.
So Richard was like, we'll step back when we're done. Like, well, we're not trying to.
What happened with him is he was there. I don't know if he was there before us, but he was there around the same time as us. And he'd been to our left-hand side.
Yeah.
But then he left. So yes. He took that position. And he came back and he was snotty about it.
You have to keep the...
Yeah, well, that's it. If you leave, you leave. Like, he didn't leave a bag. He didn't leave someone standing there.
Didn't leave anything there. And to be honest with you, when we were on the red carpet for an hour for the last showing, a full fucking hour of him holding a camera and me holding a mic, we did not move once. If I had to pee, tough. You know, it doesn't matter. This is your allotted time. This is the only time he's going to be there. That's the end of it. Adam Green wasn't even doing that many interviews because we were already late because of the fucking mirror. Because people had to pose with a mirror. Which was fucking stupid.
For a film that people didn't watch.
For people that people didn't watch, and they weren't even doing interviews. They were just doing pictures. Yeah, basically, but worse.
It seemed like it, yeah.
But worse. Anyway, so when this whole thing happened, it just kind of...
Oh, wait, sorry, just speaking of Oculus. Remember on Raw the other week?
Yeah.
And they had the mirror on.
Yeah, that was so embarrassing.
That was so weird. That was dope.
And it was the real theme as well, which was strange.
Oh, it was really awful. I think it was a real mirror, too.
But, yeah, it probably was, because WWE film. But anyway, it just was... It was kind of unprofessional, and that was the vibe I got from them the whole weekend. I know Robert England, I forgot my name when Anne Green, I pulled the mic out, but there were times when I looked over, they weren't even ready.
Mm-hmm. They're sitting on their butts.
And it's such a privileged place to be in, and everyone is completely on their game. And, you know, like the Inner Demon guys, they're really nice. They remember this from last year. You know, Karen Otten obviously is a professional as well, but you have to keep the line tight because there aren't even that many people. And for someone to leave, and there's all this space over here, and then try and, like, intimidate you?
I was just very aware when we did the interview with the director and producer of Last Showing, that we were so far over, and they positioned themselves even further over, that it was a horrible background.
It was.
For the angle of the camera.
And we couldn't move them over because they're fucking standing there, and they were done.
Yeah.
There was no reason for them to be standing there.
So, it was just an annoying kind of person. That I guess maybe it was their first time doing it. Maybe they should.
Maybe he was nervous. Kind of
learn, you know.
So, is some kid from a vlog in a fedora, and what was his t-shirt?
Nah, he wasn't a kid. He was like in his 20s or whatever.
Some stupid t-shirt, right?
I don't know if he had a stupid t-shirt. Did he? He was very rude and very misogynistic.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why, because
I don't know, he just didn't make anyone's life easy, and I mean that. He was the thing is not going to stand well for him.
He was the only person we had an issue with, and we had an issue with nobody last year.
Yeah,
I kind of feel bad that you don't know where he's from, so we can't call him out.
I don't think he did tell us, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like something about Blogspot.
It was definitely Blogspot, definitely.
He writes for Scream, I don't know.
It wasn't Scream, but Scream weren't represented there actually, which is weird.
There's an awful lot that wasn't represented. I was kind of shocked with the small amount of media that was there this year.
It was packed the first night, as it always is, but... Yeah.
I felt like there was more the year before.
There were, but it was still... Yeah, it was sad. But anyway, Adam Green. We love Adam Green.
Sorry.
And Inner Demon interviewed us and have a lovely little segment of me going on about how much I love Adam Green that they put on YouTube. So.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I didn't see that part. I just saw the part where you go, it's like...
Our Glastonbury. And I stole that from Maddie. I didn't come up with that. Sorry, Maddie.
Ouch. Here's me thinking you're clever.
And it's like, that's enough for cut.
But you're the only one who's not one of the filmmakers or actors.
That's so bad.
You're Frightfester.
Why did they put me in there? They must think I'm someone. I am someone.
Don't you know who I think
but,
I am?
But Digging Up the Marrow was our most anticipated film for sure.
Mm.
And thank God it did not disappoint. It well exceeded my expectations even. It was just so wonderful.
That's
oh my God.
That's like My Name is Bruce kind of.
Yeah. It's
like he's playing himself.
He's playing himself, and in the first in the first scene with him, the filmmaker's like, oh, maybe we should get an actor to play you. But then obviously it served, it was kind of poignant as well, because it served as a sort of time capsule, because Odorous was in it.
And he makes a comment
and
as
he
well
makes
about,
a comment, yeah.
You know, he's like, I was born an alien, I lived an alien, I'll monster. Die an alien, or monster, sorry. I'll die a monster.
Is he in his Odorous or is he in his Dave?
No, he's Odorous.
Okay.
And then obviously his wife is in it, who he's since divorced from. And we can't say much about it.
Just fortune Dave Brocky's wife.
No.
It's a joke, so, Dave Brocky.
You suck my bane.
I mean, the basic thing of it that's being very publicly said is that it's a film about a retired detective, or a former detective has sent Adam Green this stuff saying that monsters are real, this is the evidence I have.
And I know where the entrance is.
And I know the entrance to their world, the Marrow. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, Adam and his real-life cinematographer, Will Barrett, decide, okay, well, let's go film this guy and see if there's anything to it. If there isn't, at least we have a kind of interesting documentary with a crazy person, essentially. It's
based off an exhibition that Alex Pardee did.
Yeah. Who designed all the monsters for this as well. And his exhibition was called Digging Up the Marrow.
Exactly.
So, as you can imagine, it's presented as a documentary. Everyone plays themselves apart from the detective, former detective, who has found the entrance to the Marrow, which is played by Ray Wise from Twin Peaks.
And he's brilliant.
And he is outstanding.
Who was he in Twin Peaks?
He was Leland Palmer.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
He's
and fucking
he is,
brilliant.
This
Sorry.
Is without a doubt an outstanding role.
I started
as well.
Watching,
wow.
I started watching that again.
Yeah.
So that's three episodes of Twin Peaks that I've seen. Oh!
Well, he...
Oh, this episode ended with him... No, the episode ended with the Black Lodge, but, like, there was a part where he was just dancing with Laura Palmer's portrait and being like, we have to dance! We have to dance! It's like...
Well, he is...
Oh,
he is unbelievable in this.
It's funny, though. I mean, he's the only person in it who doesn't play himself. But at the same time you're watching, I'm very aware of who he is. But at the same time, I was totally taking it out of any context. I mean, he's so convincing
he's
as
very,
this person. That's
you know,
his desperation.
It's almost like it's Ray Wise. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's not who he really is, but it's that convincing a performance that you just forget everything else he's done. And it just he just is this character.
And as Adam Green said on the red carpet to us, is that a lot of people said that was a big detraction from it. Like, you know,
which is,
I'd almost believe it was real until he shows up. But then 10 minutes later, there's monsters. Does that not kind of give it away?
Yeah,
so,
it's bullshit,
you know,
dude.
The film has a lot of twists and turns, has a lot of jumps.
It's really fucking scary, actually, and it's really funny, too.
You know, Jaws was kind of shit because I knew Rose Shire was actually an actor, so...
But this is the thing, like...
I think it's a film that when we finished watching it, I really wanted to watch it again, and I really wanted to show it to people, which is a good sign for a film, really.
Me too, for sure. Hopefully it'll find its audience.
That's it. They're going to have a non-traditional release with it.
Which is
I
great.
Know,
like Red State, isn't it?
Possibly. We were talking to Adam Green. He was saying that they were going to take it on a few limited kind of tours or kind of exhibitions around with different posters, which we mean you have our signed posters.
Yeah, like secret screenings in different cities. Well, not so secret.
All of our shows are secret, too.
He was also saying about possibly doing like the Red State thing where he'd have enough fans to go to certain places in America and sell out.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to get the VOD, sell the rights to just you know, VOD and TV, but keep theatrical for themselves because...
Mm-hmm.
He talks about that in the movie Crypt a lot, is he's been burned with every film in
yeah,
terms of, you know, he's never made money at the back end like he should because they always say that it's not making money. Because if someone has theatrical, they can hide a lot of money that
mm-hmm.
you should be earning. Which is very interesting to hear about. Apparently, I think he landed in America to find out that they got the deal they wanted.
Which is great.
So hopefully that means we will see it sooner rather than later. And hopefully
on Netflix!
Possibly
yeah!
On.
It would do well on Netflix, actually.
Mm.
Hopefully it's Netflix, because fuck getting Amazon.
It's really, really a great, great film.
Mm. Fuck getting Amazon, though. Fuck it. Sorry, I really don't want to get Amazon.
Mm, I don't
I'm
know.
Mad at Amazon today.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Amazon's probably better for them in terms of making money.
Because
mm-hmm. Netflix, you just get the one fee, whereas Amazon, you get paid per view.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But we'll see what they do. Either way, it's an exciting film, and it's one that I think everyone kind of left going, that was great.
Very original.
And because there was no press or publicity behind it, you go in, not knowing what's going to be, building it up in your head. I had an idea of what it was going to be in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what I was imagining, but at the same time, what it did give me was so satisfying, I didn't care.
And then we had that really weird question and answer portion after where...
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, someone arrived late in the screening.
Someone arrived late. She was sitting in the front row... And then the first question she asked was literally, oh, what are you going to do now Dave Brocky's dead? And there was this big silence when everyone just kind of, there was this sharp intake of breath. And in fairness, he did recover quite well from it.
Yeah.
And he did answer the question. But when we talked to him afterwards, he said he was fucking majorly pissed.
Yeah.
As you would have been, because I asked him about Holliston when we were interviewing him and he got kind of choked up. But this was like straight up, yo, Dave Brody's dead, what now? And then she left immediately after he'd answered.
Wow.
Yeah. So from the front fucking row, so she's right in front of him.
So she arrived in late, asked a horrible question, left right away.
Now we were told afterwards that this particular girl was asking a lot of questions.
Sitting beside her friend.
Yeah, and she was asking a lot of inappropriate questions throughout the weekend. But that one really, like, I would have fucking clapped if he told her, like, get the fuck out. I'm not answering that. Because it wasn't...
Well, you know me, I'm the kind of, I would have actually said...
If it had been Alan Moore, he would have been, like, piss off.
That would have been like, fuck you, from the back.
Well, we were next to her friend, and we were giving out shit, and he was just kind of... He didn't defend her.
No, he said, yeah, we were right, that was inappropriate to ask.
It was just...
I think that's that thing where people assume that because someone's famous, it's all right to kind of just stop thinking of them as a human.
It just was weird. It wasn't even... I mean, I know I asked about Holliston, but it wasn't even about Holliston. It was literally... Because it was the anniversary of his death was that day he was premiering the film, and it was kind of like, what?
It wasn't his anniversary. It was his 6 months.
Yeah, but he's calling it anniversary, and you're not going to go up to Adam Green and go, no, it isn't.
It wasn't his anniversary. That's not what an anniversary is.
But, yeah,
today would have been our one-day anniversary.
Ha! But yeah, I'm so glad. Richard, move on. Next one.
I was just gonna say, I'm really used to like seeing like 64 panels and stuff like that, where every time someone asks them if they get arrested,
I'm not that kind of person.
Just bursts out booing.
If it, I'll put it to you this way.
Not even like that. They're not even like, oh, it's all, everyone. In the
I'll
crowd.
Put it to you this way, Peter. That crowd is not all Adam Green fans.
Right.
So if that crowd was all Adam Green fans, first off, that question would have been asked. Second, she would have been fucking booed out of it.
But there were so many other ways to ask that question.
There was.
It
was terrible.
Yeah, she was just an awful person.
My heart stopped. She kind of went like...
She arrived late like that for so many films. Like
she did.
She wasn't in our cinema, apparently, but seemed to always be at the front of it.
Yeah, what was with that?
I don't know.
She was at the front of the horror channel, Ollie said.
Hmm.
Unless she was
asleep. Okay, actually, this one actually was previous.
I missed it. You missed it!
I'm sorry.
Go on.
I survived the zombie holocaust.
Which I really liked.
I thought it was fun too. I thought it was.
Is that an early step set of iCarly?
Yes. No. It's New Zealand.
I knew you'd like that.
I did. It's New Zealand. It's set on the. It's on the set of a zombie film. And there's a zombie outbreak.
It's wrong country. Sorry.
But it was. I was really pleasantly surprised with it because I'm not terribly into zombies, and we saw fucking Dawn of the Dead, and that was boring. But I thought it was more funny than scary, obviously. But it was really funny. The effects were really good on the zombies. And there's this great moment where the director doesn't know that they're real zombies, and he's trying to direct them, and they won't listen. And I think seeing it through the eyes of the protagonist, who's kind of a struggling writer, and he's really enthusiastic and really excitable. And
yeah, so he plays an intern, or was he a runner? Would be.
I think a runner.
It's on like a low budget zombie shoot where
like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere, and people actually start becoming real zombies.
It's like there's something in the water.
It's in that same style as something like Bad Taste or Brain Dead. You know, Peter Jackson's earlier films.
Is it up there with Brain Dead? The other New Zealand zombie movie?
I don't think it's not Brain. It's not Brain Dead. It's Bad Taste territory though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot, and that it was fun. It was entertaining. I did find it very sluggish in its pace.
It's very throwaway.
I wonder if that's. I don't know if that's a low budget thing or if it's a New Zealand thing. But the pacing just felt very off to me. But
I got like three movies about going to a fucking mountain to get a ring off a fucking dragon.
Here's the first movie.
Fucking New Zealanders.
But yeah, that was another. To be honest, like we should probably say now we're in the middle of this. There weren't many duds this year.
No,
there
we did
were way
well.
More last
See,
year.
See, at this point, our only dud at that point was Sin City 2, and even if that was considered a dud, we were doing very well.
Yeah. What's next, Richard?
Next, this one was after Digging Up Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Was The Babadook.
Which I was so disappointed with.
This is a big one screening at the festival.
I was stoked for it.
What's the trailer for that luxury line?
Yeah, you did actually say you didn't like the trailer. I was super stoked for it. I remember Ollie showed it to us when he was over, and he loved it, in fairness. But, you know, it wouldn't be easy to please him. So, not easy to please him.
Like, even from what I saw of the trailer, I thought it was some sort of... They're being menaced by some sort of strange boogeyman kind of thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't that at all, really.
Then, no.
Even then, it seemed even less.
Here's my problem with it. Well, I mean, obviously, it's about a mother and a child in Australia. And first off, it doesn't look like Australia because it's very dark.
I didn't even think of it being Australian now to say it, actually.
It's much like Ireland. It was a bit like Ireland.
Parts of Australia.
Yeah, but either way, it was no sun. Anyway, it's very dark palette. It's very sort of blues and greys and, you know, it's... Ugh. But... It's a mother and her son. The dad is dead. Dad's been dead since he was born. And the son is sort of a troublemaker.
How do you die when you're born?
No, the dad died when the kid was being born.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Literally? The
yeah.
Same time? So they were in a car crash.
Yeah, they were in a car crash. She's driving to get to have a baby.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, and the kid...
Like, so they had to cut him out of her or something? Like, the kid, they had to C-section him right away?
The kid's kind of tormented. He's kind of into monsters and stuff like that. And he's, you know, he makes all these weapons, which... A lot of people there were sort of laughing. They got a real kick out of that. I didn't.
No.
I kind of was a bit like, this kid's got fucking issues.
I thought the kid was a massive brat. It was kind of like the kid from The Ring.
Like
we had a huge problem with the kid. I think I turned to you after about 10 minutes and said, I really hope this kid dies. The kid was a fucking asshole.
Right.
Like, he was a brat of the highest proportion. Like, the mother's trying her best. She has him in a really fancy school. You know, she's sticking up for him the whole time. He's like, he pushed a kid out of a treehouse.
Mm.
He's like causing all this shit in school, and then he just keeps screaming over and over and crying. And when they find the book itself
sounds
looks
like a pain in the ass to
watch. It is actually a hard watch.
And the mother isn't any better. She is a horribly irresponsible mother who can't discipline her son. Whenever it seems like she might, he kind of goes like, "Oh, I love you, mommy, so much."
Yeah.
And she just cracks, and it's. I've seen people, you know, you see that thing with certain parents who they can't discipline their child because the child knows how to manipulate them, but they know they're being manipulated.
Like,
and it's so frustrating to watch on the screen.
Like, after we watched it, Ollie was saying to us, because obviously he loved it, he was saying to us, we kind of compared it to
that to my mummy and daddy?
Well, he is an only child, so maybe he did find some affiliation there.
Yeah.
But he compared it to, we need to talk about Kevin, and said that he was arguing that she was a bad mother too, and we disagreed.
Mm.
With We Need to Talk About Kevin, that kid was a sociopath.
Yeah.
And she was terrified of that kid.
That's the point. I mean, of that, it's nature versus nurture, and it's nature all the way.
Exactly. And she could not control that kid. She couldn't do anything. In The Babadook, like, there's a moment where she goes to the school, and the school are saying, like, he's causing trouble, he's got these weapons, and she basically says, oh, well, fuck you then.
Yeah.
As if he wouldn't just, because they want to put him in solitary confinement or something, they want to take him away from their kids so he can't cause any trouble. As if he wouldn't just go, okay, Gran, you know, obviously, she's a nurse.
Yeah.
So she must have some idea. And then, I mean, the book itself looks cool. I know there's a Kickstarter to get it made. The Babadook looks like shit.
Mm.
The bit where he's on the fucking ceiling and it's this shitty CGI.
Yeah, that was a real misjudged scare.
It just...
So, it was weird, the film... How does this kid's behavior and the Babadook tie in? Like, what's...
Because he's scared because of the Babadook.
So that's
acting out like this is kind of scary.
No, he's acting out anyway. Then she reads the Babadook.
It gets worse.
And
basically.
He starts. He's sort of shown early on that he has these gadgets to try and attack things with.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to protect you, mummy.
Yeah, but then when the Babadook starts coming in, he acts out again, kind of trying to defend her, saying, don't let him in.
Oh, remember that part?
Yeah.
Oh,
don't let him in.
It's like, die!
Whoa. Look what you did.
Stupid kid!
But it's weird though, because as it goes on though, he stops being like that and he starts becoming more the prototypical kind of kid in a film who you actually kind of care about somewhat, because he stops being as annoying, but the mother is being not possessed but kind of swayed towards a darker side with lack of sleep and stuff.
It's problematic as well, because she reads, the story changes after she burns it.
Yeah.
Bobby, come on now.
So that's it. Yeah, she burns the book.
She burns it to get rid of it, and then it comes back, and it's a different story. And it lays out that she's going to be possessed, and she's going to kill the dog, which she does, which was terrible.
Mm.
And then she's going to kill the kid. So, again, it kind of robs it of any suspense.
Right.
Because you're just waiting.
But that's the weird thing. I mean, I always thought the trailer looked like it was going to be a terrifying film.
Me too.
And then watching the film, I was waiting for it to be terrifying, but everything that felt like it felt creepy, but everything that felt like it was going to be scary wasn't.
Someone we spoke to said that the trailer was scarier than the film, and I completely agree.
Yeah.
If this was a short film, it could have been great.
Yeah.
Could have been very weird and eerie.
I really thought it was a mixture of We Need to Talk About Kevin meets Mama.
Very much so.
I mean, I liked Mama, but
Mama
it was...
Mia.
But it was much
more.
But Mama was much more.
Wasn't that? Oh,
yeah, he was. He can't really sing either. Go on.
It was a much more watchable film, I thought. Like Mama.
Yes, it was.
But I don't know, Babadook. It didn't really do it for me. And the ending is. Well, I'm not going to say what it was.
Sorry.
But
the ending. Was
I liked the idea of the ending. I didn't like how it got there though, and it felt like it didn't.
Silly.
It didn't seem like it made sense in itself.
It didn't.
And I mean, you know, the first thing a lot of people think in these films is you're going to go the. Nightmare on Elm Street way of like, I'm not going to give you power, but then,
yeah, I'm
going to
turn my back on you,
work.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. I shouldn't go too down that path, but it was so disappointing.
It was very disappointing, and it was a very because we saw fun stuff last every night. And that and The Signal were the two that weren't fun. Yeah. And that one was really fucking not fun.
And I don't... I think a lot of people came out feeling the same way as
we did. I think so too.
I know some people are kind of saying it was good, but I think everyone's kind of wanting it to be good as opposed to it actually being good.
Ollie in particular really wanted that to be good.
And I mean, like we were saying about him and thought of if she was a good parent or not.
Yeah.
You know, him saying that, you know, he thought she was a good parent. Like, no, she was an awful parent. She couldn't discipline her child. Awful was letting parent. Him be bratty. Was letting him, you know, ruin his life by not being a parent. I mean, that's not good parenting.
And she takes him out of school for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, next, we better keep going.
Well, that is the end of our Saturday.
Woohoo!
And then we move on to Sunday.
How many fucking days is this dumb shit?
Two more days.
Fuck!
It was 5 days.
Come on, guys. In 2 hours,
16. It'll make a good two-parter.
Sure.
What was our first...
Would you stop, Peter?
Come on.
Go on. Do we have a look?
Okay, our first one, our first one we saw on the Sunday was Open Windows.
Which was another internet one, internet boy.
This one I think you might find a few holes with.
I think so too, actually. No, it was mostly Elijah Wood, who I love, but it was also Sacha Grey. Richard, give the basic premise, if you can.
So basic premise is Elijah Wood plays a contestant winner who...
The contest was to win a dinner date with her,
yeah.
Because he has a... Basically, like a Tumblr dedicated to her, basically. Sacha Grey.
But
does Sacha Grey play herself?
Oh, no.
No.
But she gets him out.
Is she still a porn person in this?
Oh, no. She's a real actress. Yeah. But the bits where she about her film are actually quite good. Because her filming seems really stupid. It started off, and remember, we thought we were in the wrong film. Because it started off with footage of her film, and we were like, I was like, this is the wrong film. Because it says Spanish-American production. I was like, it's the wrong film. It's the wrong film.
Let's just say that the landscape of... Spanish cinema.
Of Mexican cinema would have been
But yeah, so he's invited to go to the convention, and he does. He's watching it off his computer in his hotel room, and then the webmaster contacts him saying, "You know, well, why are you here? Did no one tell you that that was cancelled?" And actually, secretly, she's the one who wanted it cancelled
because she's a bitch.
But hey, let's check this out. I can control her phone, so we can watch her from the floor. I can watch from above a camera, above the stage.
So Peter, if my phone was in my bag. And my camera was on. Could you hack it to look at me?
I don't know. I don't know the fucking hacking found.
It just seemed a bit silly to me. And the angle was quite good. We'd just be looking at like for Vaseline or something.
You would be looking at black because it's like... Have you ever seen when people take pictures inside their pockets?
Yeah, exactly. Like I think she has it on the table at one point or something. But I thought... The guy who was talking to him, because a lot of it's talking, not typing, which is clever, because again, when it's typing, it's boring.
It's like a screen grab again, screen capture, except this time it moves around to different parts of the screen. So it's a bit more exciting.
Oh,
but
boring.
The guy was kind of a Cockney geezer, which was weird. And
I just got the phone in it.
And then when you see him,
That
is pretty much it. But when you see him, he looks like the Zodiac Killer.
Mm.
He's fat and has a big weird mask.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of quickly, quite early on, like it stops...
He drops the act pretty early, which is good, because I thought, oh my god, how stupid is Elijah Wood.
So essentially he's trying to trap Elijah Wood into doing certain things, which kind of moves on to trying to get Sacha Fierce, no,
Sacha Grey
Sacha Grey trying to, you know, kidnap and kill her, that kind of thing. So it all moves forward in that way, and then you find out that there's other hackers who think that this guy is
were funny. The French hackers were funny.
They think that he's a master hacker.
What did they call him? Shit, it wasn't Nebraska, was it?
Nirvana.
No, it was like Nirvana.
Nevada?
Nevada! They're like, oh, Nevada, we are such a big fan of you.
But,
he's like, I'm not Nevada!
But it's that kind of way. It does a very good job of sustaining itself, especially because it's on the one screen, but because it keeps hopping back and forth to different things. Because
is
this a horror movie?
Oh, yeah.
It's not very scary. It's really goofy. It's more thriller.
It's more thriller, and the parts with them are really funny.
Yeah.
But it's because we saw the den as well. I feel like if we had seen only one of them and then seen the other one separately, maybe we would have thought differently. But the den was a much rougher film.
Mm.
And
definitely.
It was a much darker film, whereas this was kind of...
That's the Chainsaw Massacre of computer screen captures.
But this was kind of like more like, oh, hackers, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
But thankfully there wasn't too much typing, because I hate that. Mm. But when he put like the laptop on the seat next to him and stuff, like that was clever. Mm. Because otherwise it'd just be like him going like this, trying to drive.
Yeah. That's it, keeps himself going well.
He's great.
And the one thing that I think was a weird suspense to try and have was the ball cameras.
Yes.
Because what they started doing was they started making 3D images with these ball cameras they had. Where the hackers were able to hack in and kind of go like, I understand the idea is because they each see a different thing, it's able to kind of guess that this is what the shape is. And it's done well in the film, but I mean, you have to suspend your disbelief for that.
Oh, for sure. When she's in the boot and everything, yeah.
Then all the kind of the twists and turns in the film. It's very, very effective. It was very fun, very watchable, very...
diverting,
yeah.
But throwaway again. Very That's sort
it.
Of...
If you think too hard about it, you're going to find a lot of holes.
I feel like Peter would watch it and just be fucking slamming his head against the wall.
I mean, the internet's boring. We're on it.
Yes. Next!
So next one, you didn't see Fault, did we?
No. Oh, saw that.
Next one was Dock of the Dead.
Oh lord. This is what I fell asleep during. I fell asleep for about 20 minutes during this.
Yeah, it was very underwhelming.
I missed a load of stuff about zombie survival, which was actually quite terrifying, how much money is being made out of that.
How much? Yeah, that's the only terrifying thing about that.
To be honest, like, it started off very well. It started off with, like, with Romero, with Bruce Campbell, which,
started before that, you
with
know?
Simon Pegg, yeah. You know, and that was fucking brilliant, and you love hearing all these people talk, and... Mel Brooks' kid, what's his name, James? Is it James Brooks?
Max Brooks.
So on.
Max Brooks, he wrote the
Zombie Survival Guide.
Yep, exactly. He's a big part of it.
And World War Z. Yep.
And he's a great talker. They're all great talkers, and they're all very interesting, but...
Well, yeah, you'd want fucking Mel Brooks' kid to be...
But I feel like...
good talker.
And it was an interesting... When we had the Q&A after, it was interesting to hear his insight on why he couldn't use certain footage because it was so expensive
was
and whatever.
It like, was a 30... Was it 30 grand per
minute? A
minute?
Yeah. But what I thought was quite interesting, what I said to Peter was about Danny Boyle, that he refused to have a part in it because he didn't make a zombie film.
Yeah.
And Peter was like, what? Like 28 days later?
That's. I mean, I have to say, I always kind of go...
Zombieland wasn't either.
I was kind of...
Zombieland shit.
Was Zombieland
on
it?
Oh, no!
That's what I always imagine it was. Mm. Maybe it's because there's the ad before it that had it. I always sort of dissociate zombie films and infected films. Mm. But that film, that documentary does make the point that original zombie films were
infected,
you know,
films.
Live people who were infected, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's the cool part of that documentary is the beginning parts. But when it's all about zombie culture and not zombie lore, just zombie culture in the world.
Which kind of loses steam. Like when they talk about the zombie walk, obviously we've done the zombie walk here and it's really fun. But then when it goes further and it's about the zombie survival, about zombie beauty pageants and stuff, I mean, it just gets unbelievably dull.
Yeah, it feels like it was made for the people. It feels like it was made as a love letter to the people who go on the zombie walks religiously.
Exactly.
Who are never going to say a bad thing about it, who are never going to go, oh, well, this is stupid fun.
And are they really into zombies or are they into, like, makeup and, you know what I mean? Like, the women that were interviewed, I thought, like, Jesus Christ, you're fucking dumb.
I thought it kind of missed out a lot on the Italian zombie films as well.
It really did.
It felt like it had an awful lot of oversights in what it was looking at. And
Its scope was very strange.
Yeah. I mean, it really zeroed in on, you know, like you're saying, the zombie survival stuff you can buy.
Which is creepy.
Like the sort of zombie paraphernalia. Mm. The zombie walks. It really focused on...
Did they talk about any video games?
They didn't talk much about video games,
so.
Actually.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, which is strange in itself.
That's like, a big part. Like,
like the last 15 years.
Then they didn't really touch on things like, you know, the way people talk about zombies in, you know, the news now about, like, the guy in Florida who people were calling a zombie when he
went
somewhere.
Yeah, because it started off as though it was going to go that way.
Yeah.
That, like, what do we really think of? What are zombies now? But it didn't.
Yeah. However, so that was quite a disappointing documentary.
But
it was followed up by...
The best documentary ever.
called Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau.
And my God, what a fucking documentary.
So you went into this not knowing anything about Richard Stanley or his attempt to make Island of Dr. Moreau.
I know of Island of Dr. Moreau, obviously, because everyone does, but I didn't know him. I didn't know he was such a wonderful goth. And oh my God, I keep repeating that line about the warlock. It's like, oh, I went to see this warlock and he helped me to...
She just says it every once in a while. She's like,
I just think it's so fucking... But that was exactly it. It was so fucking bizarre and it was so wonderful because it was totally deadpan. He just totally believed that.
But he does. He's so serious. He's obviously an eccentric. He was quite, you know, he's always considered artistic and popular from early... Hey, Johnny, while you're standing, can you get me water too?
Yeah.
He was considered quite, you know...
Don't talk.
Aw.
Don't talk while I'm filling things up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God damn it. He did Hardware.
I was going to ask if you'd seen that.
Yeah, go.
So
I have seen Hardware.
He didn't like it.
I only saw Hardware the week before.
Oh, you liked it. You didn't like it.
I wasn't too keen on it. But I'd only seen Hardware for the first time the week before going over, oddly enough. I wouldn't have known who Richard Stanley was otherwise. But he's now like living in France in the mountains, isolated.
He's like, I don't like people.
Essentially. So this was his passion project since he was a kid. He always loved the story. The movies had never quite lived up to what he wanted. So he had this vision. He got these designers behind Graham Humphreys, who does all the poster designs from some of your favorite posters that you've seen. Movie posters,
Just stop you. Sorry, our turtles are making noise this whole podcast.
We'll pretend like we're on location at a swimming pool.
Splash!
But the film is pretty much just about how, you know, his dream film keeps going more and more wrong until he's no longer a part of it. And then it keeps going with the film, which is great. I think a lot of people thought it would stop once he was kicked off, because famously he was kicked off 4 days into the shoot of it.
Yeah, which is,
this is quite. Everyone's heard a lot of stories about Marlon Brando, who, you know, is notoriously being tough to work with. He has like a little midget sidekick, so how he gets there is hilarious and entertaining.
It's bizarre.
How certain characters are moved around. Val Kilmer and how he's the biggest cock ever.
Fairuza Balk is in it. She's a loony.
It's just, I don't want to give too much away for people when they're going to watch it, because it is, the funny stories are just so...
Have you seen the Terry Gilliam documentary?
Yes, Lost in La Mancha. It is like Lost in La Mancha times 10.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen either.
It's just, it's just absolutely wonderful.
That one they abandoned after, was it the second day?
I think they might have got a couple of days into shooting, but yeah, their first day, there was torrential rain. And
it ruined everything and where they were going to
The difference between this is, like, Lost in La Mancha, it's behind the scenes of the actual shoot, whereas this is people recalling the stories. And,
there was some wonderful, like
Fast Worst movie.
Exactly, a little bit more yeah. But, like, there were, like, wonderful, you know, on-set photographs and stuff, and it was just...
But
it's such an incredible story.
It is, and it just keeps getting more and more bizarre. It keeps getting more and more ridiculous, as if people are just making this shit up. But then you get reliable sources saying, like, what's it, Bob Shea from New Line.
Bob Shea, he was good.
It keeps amping itself up, you know, replacing the director. Then what happens with the new director? Marlon Brando, what he wanted to do. And again, the Warlock, what did the Warlock told him? That, like, you know, something had happened, so things, did the Warlock die or something? So all of his spells were not going to be,
the Warlock did die. Originally the Warlock had helped with the meeting with Bob Shea.
It's just the most bonkers out there destruction of a film I've ever seen.
My psychic died. Because my psychic is dead. She must have read the cards wrong. Richard Stanley's just an incredible person and a fantastic speaker.
Yeah.
And it came because it originated because the director had been speaking to him about it and thought, oh fuck, I better film this because it's just nuts.
Yeah.
And because he was so willing to speak about it at length.
I actually saw Richard Stanley in a documentary recently about Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh my god!
Jodorowsky's, pardon me.
That would have been an amazing fucking movie.
It would have been. The documentary's not very good though. Especially compared to Lost Soul.
No documentary ever going to compare to it.
I don't think anything will be as good as Lost
Soul. Mobius was doing the character and costume design for that.
Mm.
And it was... Mobius was a French French artist who just did, like... He was an artist, and then he went to Mexico in his early 20s, and, like, it changed him.
Mm-hmm.
It just changed his whole outlook on how to do art and how to do landscapes.
Yeah.
And it's everything he's done is culturally so alien and out there. He was an incredible artist. He only died quite recently.
Well, that is... You have to watch that in particular, because if you don't grow up to be Alan Moore, you'll grow up to be Richard Stanley. Can you imagine, though? Peter's like, I don't like people anymore.
Mm.
Now I go live in the mountains. Mm. You may join me if you wish.
I don't think I imagine living in a mountain,
that's
though.
That's me recently.
That's you now.
It's like, if I could get good internet up the mountain, I'd live up the mountain. Just fuck people. I just order, like, Coca-Cola by the crayon.
Next, I think you saw one without me, didn't you? I went and slept.
okay, I was wondering.
I took a nappy.
I went to see The House at the End of Time, which is worth...
You didn't shit yourself?
That was the only foreign language one. Did you see a foreign language one? Because I didn't see any foreign language this year.
That was foreign language. That's the only one I saw.
I didn't see any this year. And last year we had, like, Sadiq 2.
Yeah, I can't read while I'm also trying to see things.
It's worth noting, I guess, that it's going to be playing at Grimfest, or what's it called, Grim Up North?
Yeah, loads are playing at Grim Up North, including our friend Jessica Cameron's Truth or Dare.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Hello.
I'll go through this quickly.
Wine bottle. How do you masturbate with a wine bottle?
Pretty easily, but I don't know how you do the rest of what happened with that fucking wine bottle.
Go on, Richard.
We'll go to that in a minute.
We'll get to that.
How's it the end of time? It's a kind of non-linear film. It starts off with a mother and the two kids in a house. It's set in Venezuela. It's the first Venezuelan horror to be released worldwide,
according to that, anyway.
According to this, it might be famous, who knows. But
what a great way to market it. The film that otherwise you wouldn't have seen.
You kind of get the impression that she has a deadbeat husband, and they're in this house. It's a gorgeous house, but it's very old, very kind of musty, it's a very horror movie house. Weird shit starts happening. The kids are locked in rooms. It's like there's people who are there who shouldn't be there. And then one of the kids disappears, essentially. One of the kids says to the mother that they've been told by a ghost that they shouldn't be playing outside or something like that. And then one of the kids dies while they're playing outside. But then the film switches gears to present day. The mother is under house arrest, or she's I guess arrested, convicted, and has to stay in her house. And there's a priest visiting her
because of the child's death.
I think she's okay. Blamed for it or something like that. Sorry, I know it's a bit vague. I'm trying to be careful not to give away certain things.
See, that's something I always wonder about these movies, right? So you have, like, this ghost, it kills all your friends, and you finally get down off the mountain or whatever fucking remote place you've been to, and how do you explain that?
Apparently you get put under house arrest.
You go to jail, pretty much, right?
I think you do go to jail.
Because everyone goes like, oh, you just killed your friends. And
no, it was ghosts.
Ghosts, the demons, Andarian demons.
So it was... yeah, like I said, switches to modern day when she's older, and she sees sort of, you know, other ghosts around her place. This is probably one of the scariest films I saw at Fright Fest, oddly enough.
Wow.
And
takes a lot to scare you.
It was very tense. So that's some sort of joke about Digging Up the Marrow.
Oh yeah, Richard jumped during Digging Up the Marrow, and I've never seen him jump before, ever. And when it was over, this big fucking metalhead next to him was like, "You jumped," and he was like, "Oh no, it was her." It was her. He was like this big tattooed fucker, and he was like, "I don't jump, I'm a man."
I should ask you, how many times did you scream?
I don't know, a lot probably.
You weren't too bad for screaming, actually. I mean, you jumped and all that kind of thing a good bit, but...
I can't remember when I screamed. I think I did scream at least once, but...
I've been like in the other room working and just hear Joey go like,
"Ah!" I mean, the marrow, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Exists as well, because that one had quite a lot of scream moments.
Oh, it did.
Has the end time. Yeah, I don't want to say much more. It's kind of non-linear in that, you know, it's different times and times intersect with each other. That's the.
Is it done better than Oculus did it?
Yes. Oh, okay. Much better. I'd say that this is better than Oculus. But at the same time, it has a lot of faults. It's quite slow moving in places. It's very obvious where it's going by a certain point, and you feel like you're there before the filmmakers are. Because I say this all the time. I'm not very good at twigging where a film's going to go.
Ali's really good at it too. Yeah, you're really good at it. I'm not.
I like to not know. I like to let
the people
take
who
me
write
down.
About movies. Don't, like.
I'm trying to think. As Above, So Below, I could tell where that was going. Mm. But I mean,
I think it's a sign of a poor film if you really know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was a very watchable film. I don't think it's anything to write home about. It really reminded me of, you remember The Orphanage?
Yes,
I do. It was quite similar in tone to that.
That was Spanish. Yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was also foreign language anyway.
So kind of similar.
Yeah, from
Latin.
From other
countries. So it certainly had its moments. The way it wrapped itself up at the end was quite nice. Again, I could see it coming from quite a while away.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I had to stop enjoying it as what it was. You know, I had to stop enjoying where it was going and more enjoying how it was going to get there.
And then the last one of the night. I nearly fell asleep, but I woke up just in time for Stage Fright starring Meatloaf. Horror musical! We're nearly done. We're nearly done here. But yeah, I quite enjoyed Stage Fright, I must say. I thought it was very stupid and very easy.
Certainly very stupid.
But I thought Meatloaf was excellent, as he always is. It's great to see him singing because, you know, he's nearly done now. He's going to give up singing. But
is he?
Yeah. His
voice wasn't as good as it used to be.
I don't think he was really hitting it as high as he could.
The thing is, his character wasn't that.
He's finished singing live.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
It's so sad, but he was excellent in it.
He's actually a very good actor.
It's worth watching just for him, because obviously last thing he did like this was Rocky Horror, which is very good as well.
Last thing he did like this was the Tenacious D movie.
I forgot about that. Oh my god.
Excuse you. Yeah, you did a whole number of things right at the start. You're really...
Well, this is really good for the singing. I know Ollie said he didn't think there was enough fit singing or enough slashing.
Really?
I thought there was plenty of both, so yeah. I don't know what he was watching. But I thought the fact that the bad guy does metal bits, that was fucking brilliant. You'd almost want more of that than more of the actual songs, but I don't know. I mean, the actual story was stupid, and I knew exactly who it was.
Was it better than Don't Go in the Woods?
Oh, yes. The problem with Don't Go in the Woods was it was very serious. This wasn't at all serious.
Being horny makes me horny.
Yeah, it was that, pretty much. Like, the first song was called I'm Gay, But Not In That Way.
Yes, that's pretty... That was quite fun. The film, I don't know, I thought the film was very... I thought it was fun, but in that kind of MTV, what's that, Super Slay...
You said it was like My Super Psycho 316.
That's the one.
Which I really love, but I don't know, it was...
That's where you go. You guys don't go Pretty Little Liars, no?
Haven't seen.
Pretty Little Liars, no.
I'm messing.
It's not Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty Little Liars is terrible.
Well, Yeah, it was very...
I don't want to say that as a derogatory comment. I mean more that it's very twee in a lot of ways. I don't think it was... It felt something like, you know, for anyone, that you don't have to be a genre fan to be able to watch it or anything like
Absolutely.
That.
But I'd say that's probably what they were going for, because a lot of it is set in the daylight.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, dancing and singing. And
like, with Stallone, and he's in the tunnel.
I think
hilarious.
I think for me, I like to see those things kind of go really far. I didn't think it pushed itself very far, but again, probably because it was trying to hit a certain audience.
I think it was trying to be get as wide an audience as possible. It was a bit Tom the Book of Preval at times. It wasn't quite as rude. And it probably could have stood to be a bit ruder.
I really loved that episode.
But the kills were great.
It's really good.
But yeah, the kills were pretty good.
Heavy metal stuff was great. The kind of Phantom of the Opera-ish.
Very, very good.
It was very good. I enjoyed his heavy metal songs. Like, ah!
And Minnie Driver was good too.
Minnie Driver.
Yeah, she's in it.
I love Minnie Driver.
Final Day. The Final Day was our worst day.
Yeah, up until that point, I mean, there was films that were not great, but there was no bad films. The worst at that point was still
Sin City.
And I mean, that was still very watchable.
And just, what was our first film? Was it?
I'm trying to figure out. We didn't watch something very early, because I think my first film of the day was Nymph.
And that means, what did we see?
You saw Blood Moon.
We saw Blood Moon, so I'll do that first. I'll do
Morrowind expansion. Well, I'm getting real nerdy with my references now. Sorry.
Blood Moon is a British werewolf flick from the guy who did Peep Show, which is cool, I guess. But
Mitchell Webb, Bat Peep Show,
but not with them in it. It would have been better.
Yeah, well, I was hoping it would be a horror film like that.
I wish. No, it was.
You're going to get bloody killed.
It was in a.
You're going to die. He's going to kill you. And in his head while he's running away.
It was inescapably dull.
Okay.
It was set on location in Kent at a little village.
Sorry, Kent.
It was set in a little village where people pretend to be in the Wild West. That's how they live. You know the way there's communities like that all over the world, right? Mm-hmm. So
I don't think they have those in Kent.
But what was sad about it was that he told us this in a Q&A afterwards. I knew that from looking at it. It looks completely like a set. The whole it's very, very, very insular. It's, you know, they don't go anywhere. They go to kind of the tavern and then they go over there and then they go in the fields. Mm. You know, as Ollie said, when they go into the woods, it's like, oh, England. It's supposed to be set in Colorado.
Right.
And they all have Colorado accents from the Wild West. Mm. So it's all like, "Arr, partner, except worse. We were talking about werewolf transformations. This was the worst werewolf transformation for me. The werewolf just looked like shit. He said in the Q&A afterwards that they, you know, the werewolf was really important to them. They wanted to make sure he looked good and blah, blah, blah. It's essentially a tale of like outlaws take hostages and then they realize that the real problem is that there's a fucking werewolf outside. The main guy is very good. They said that they envisioned it as sort of a Van Helsing type thing, that this is going to be the first installment in a series and it's going to be all about this guy. I think that's, you know, pushing it.
That's like naming a new boat Titanic.
It's just, I mean, it did nothing for me. I found it very, very dull. The acting was competent across the board, like the main guy is very good. But considering we had seen Wolf Cop, which was hilarious, and Late Phases, which was very moving, this just didn't seem to do anything. It was very, I mean, it was essentially just kind of Van Helsing, but not.
Mm. So why are your bandits taking people when it turns out that they're in like some sort of reenactment?
Oh, they're not.
That's just where it was set.
Oh, where they filmed it.
Yeah.
But it felt like it was.
But it looked like a set. It never.
I thought it was kind of like the village.
No, that'd be it's
really modern day.
That would have been interesting. It didn't work in the village, but it would have been interesting now. It was just the fact that when somebody reveals that, you're supposed to go, "Oh my god, I didn't realize it." Like when you watch Clerks 2, it's like, "Hey, this is way too sunny for fucking Jersey," but you don't care because it doesn't matter, and there's leaves eventually. But in this, it was
summer.
Like, I'd love you to watch it, Richard, and see if you can kind of... To me, it just seemed very, very small.
You're not too... You normally wouldn't pick up on that stuff in a lot of ways. Like, I'm trying to think what way to... Remember that film that you didn't like? Was it Frost, or was the one you gave me that you hated that I watched?
Oh, shit. I have it over there. Chill.
So it's that kind of way where, like, you know, there's something about... Normally, I know you kind of go, there's something about this that I don't like.
That's off.
Whereas, like, I'm, you know... I can tell if something's like a lower budget or if it is a kind of cheap set or like, you know, a search short where I had a problem with the set design considerably.
Yes,
everything felt like IKEA furniture and felt very bare.
And not on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is that same kind of feeling. I think they made their first misstep is the guy traveling from one place to another. If you know that you only have this one setting, even if it is great, just keep it fucking there.
Yeah.
Don't move it. Because as soon as you move it, we twig, that's not Colorado.
And that doesn't sound like it was very good, though.
It just...
You know, and I mean, I understand exactly what you mean. Something that feels like it's very small, like they're not going to move out. I mean, some films are very good for doing that thing. Like, Cube is very good at making one location feel like many, and you don't...
Of course!
Care. But some films, like you say, they take the one location, and they it feels like it's one location. You feel very confined. You feel claustrophobic because you know that if I look too far this way, maybe I'm going to hit the end of the set, or I'm going to hit the power plugs.
Kitty! What's he looking at?
They're going to fight.
Okay, anyway,
I think a lot of the cats are in here in season.
Do you know what I compare it to?
What?
You know in Father Ted, where it's like, oh, I'm going to go to my poetry corner. Okay, here I am. It's pretty much that. It's like me going, oh, we're going to travel over there, that other town, and then I'll be over there by the chair.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just went over there, huh? Yeah. But tell us about Nymph, which you also weren't impressed with.
Oh, wait, no, I had a story first.
Okay.
So I know someone who went to one of those kind of reenacting places.
Okay.
He went to a Norse one.
Cool.
In Norway or Sweden, somewhere up there.
Okay.
But he had to leave after a month. He was supposed to spend like 6 months or something up there, but he spent all his money in the first month on swords.
Oh my god.
Which were confiscated when he tried to leave the country. I'm not going to name names. I know a lot of metalheads, so it was one of them. One of the big, beardy, hairy lads.
Fair enough. Richard, tell us about Nymph.
Nymph, which I was interested in because it kind of sold itself as a horror movie about mermaids, essentially, which I thought sounded kind of something I hadn't seen, could be fun, could be
interesting.
I was intrigued by it until I saw the poster. When I was writing about it, I actually had to check that it was the right poster because it didn't go with the description.
Why, what's the poster for it?
The poster's like a big yellow-haired lady, a fish lady.
Yeah, that'll probably be it. I know I saw one that was kind of fish lady.
Selkies are part sea otter.
It's not. This isn't a selkie. The selkie was in the short film.
Oh,
this is a siren.
Ugh.
She's all like, la la la, come over here.
So, yeah,
la, drown.
Well, you've done a good job of describing the film, essentially.
drown.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at a poster for it that looks a little bit like Shark Night.
That's the one I'm probably thinking of. Lots of blues and reds.
Yeah, that's the one.
Shouldn't I wasn't so bad. It was crazy.
Well,
compared
to this, it was amazing. no, but this is, so it's like this, two American women go to visit their friend in Serbia. As they said in the introduction, it's a Serbian film, but not that one. and it's not at all.
Oh.
It's very not that kind of film. They go to visit their friend, and one of the girls is her ex, pardon me.
Yeah.
And she thinks they might be about to get back together, but actually he has a fiance now.
Aww, sad.
Yeah.
She went all the way to Serbia.
Yeah. And the other friend is also deathly afraid of water, which is interesting because they're like, you know, on a cruise ship, and they're also on a cruise ship that has a pool where she's sitting beside the pool.
Why would she agree to it then?
Then they go to Serbia, and then they spend a lot of time out in boats and stuff like that. So we always, every now and again, get this weird moment of her freaking out about getting into the boat and all. It's like, no, no, there's water! It's like, well, what about all that water in that big boat you were in before? Come on!
So wait, she was on a cruise ship, she was fine.
Yeah.
But that's way more water!
I know. There's a lot of problems with this film.
Is the cinematography good, at least? Like, do you see a lot of Serbia?
Like,
is the landscape good?
You see, yeah, it's very
close.
The second
I thought you were going to ask if you see a lot of them.
Do you see a lot of the people now?
Do you see a lot of them girls? Like,
do you see a lot of father, like, or is it just
like
the top half
like
you see?
But you do see a good bit of, it looks like a nice kind of, you know, Mediterranean tourist video in certain places.
Okay.
For in the right kind of way. You're kind of following the story, the fiancé is not too keen on the ex-girlfriend, and she's right not to be because the exes kind of hook up a bit.
Oh my god!
Oh gosh, they go to visit
Do you see his penis?
No. You also see kind of parallel to this, you see a couple who go to have sex nearby the river or by the, sorry, the ocean.
This all sounds ridiculous.
And then like the guy sort of stops and goes to the edge, and I think he jumps in because he's hearing something she's not hearing, and so that's the nymph calling.
What does it sound like?
I can't remember. I think it's a nice kind of singing, but you don't really hear it very well.
Oh.
Hilarious if they made a film where, you know, it was at a certain frequency that men could hear and women couldn't.
Yeah, that'd be way better.
It just starts playing Nicki Minaj. I have to go.
So they decide
to go. A really big ass is calling me.
There's this guy.
I need that booty. There's a guy. And she's just going, all the skinny bitches, get out of here!
So there's a guy who's following them. He has a kind of a hook thing.
What?
I don't know if he's following them or he just happens to be in a lot of places.
Is he like the bird's eye guy?
No, he's holding it. It's something...
Okay, I know what you did last summer.
Yeah. So...
It's Ben's son.
They end up going to this island. It's like
my last name's work.
I know.
It's like an abandoned prison in the center of the... I guess, I don't know if it's an ocean or if it's a giant lake or whatever. It must be ocean.
It's not very clear.
It's like Alcatraz.
Where does he live?
But so they go to this... Yeah, it's essentially Alcatraz. It's an abandoned prison. They go in just because they want to explore. Then they see... One of them sees a girl down the well. It's a nymph. The guy with the hook, it turns out that's her, you know, lover. You know, well, he's obsessed with her and... Laddie, blah,
is she very attractive?
He's trying to kill people for her to feed on. She's... I didn't find her attractive.
Scare tits out.
I think she does.
If she doesn't, that's shit, because how is she covering them? Like, with seashells or
something?
Like the Little Mermaid.
She must have her tits out. Actually, she might have her hair over them. But anyway, the thing is, the first thing I remember, I did drift off a tiny bit, so someone got dispatched without me realizing.
Richard's like, that person hasn't shown up in a while.
I didn't care. It was really boring. It felt very slow. I know it was a relatively low-budget film, and I felt that they were kind of wasting time with certain things to kind of pad out the time.
Mm-hmm.
When you finally see the mermaid nymph thing, you see its tail, it's like a fucking, you know, Windows 98 kind of, you know, wah 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 kind of crappy animation. She's very powerless, essentially, you know, kind of just calls on the guy with the hook to do all the work for her. And it's...
Yeah, I love most of it.
Right.
The entire film was very... I mean, it looked nice, the effects were awful, the acting was fine. The cinematography was nice. The actual film itself was really rubbish. I don't see this one standing any test of time. I don't see people knowing this film. I don't see people watching or enjoying this film.
And
also, it has a shit ending as well. Sorry.
Tell us what the ending is.
Actually, you guessed it, didn't you? Because you said, at the end, there's going to be like a whole load of them come.
Oh, yeah, I did guess the ending.
Yeah, that's it.
So
she wasn't alone.
Well, that's it. They sort of say she's the last nymph, and you kind of know right
away. And you're like, no, she isn't. Okay, so following on from that to something, are we actually going to discuss this one, or...
What?
Oh, shit, yeah.
What? I don't know.
Truth or Dare?
Yeah.
That movie.
Here we go.
It sounds like a really mean-spirited movie. You know those movies that you
watch? It was incredibly mean-spirited.
But where you watch it, and you have really bad taste in your mouth afterwards, and you're like, that wasn't scary, that was just... A really awful
thing. My worry with this is like Jessica Cameron might hear this or someone might give it back to her and she might pull a few quotes or whatever and go like, oh yeah, these people, they didn't like it because it was so hardcore. This is a shit film in every single way. It's like, exploitative, not in the fun exploitative way. It's in that, oh, horror fans are stupid. They will like this shit here, you know, they like breaking taboos.
They actually, at one point, right, he's looking at YouTube comments and he's like, oh, all they want is sex. We better do sex now.
Mm.
It's like, was this your thought process making it? Because it seems like it was, because you've come here with your tits out.
Well, you literally see where she went, okay, what's taboo? Okay,
yeah.
You know, pedophilia,
incest, abortion, rape,
and there's transgender as well.
Transgender.
So,
taking all the boxes.
Literally, in a 5-minute period, minute period, all that occurs, you know?
It sounds like a 13-year-old made this movie.
It really is.
But to be honest with you, like I said to Richard about halfway through, I said I'd fucking walk out of here right now if she wasn't sitting at the back, because she would take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
She handed out sick bags and she said, if you're gonna get sick, like make sure you get sick in the bag, because other people just left and got sick. I think they just left.
Yeah.
Sweetheart. No one's getting sick watching this.
Yeah.
Unless they've never seen anything shocking before. Yeah. Unless the most shocking film they've seen is The Fucking Lion King.
But it's not even done well. I mean,
no!
So, Peter, you...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Remember that film I did, Broken, the kind of shitty one I did with my camcorder and friends? Okay.
No, he doesn't remember.
All right, well, I've done shitty films like that when I was a teenager. And, they were more technically competent than this film.
I mean, we'll start with the basics. The location is shit. Location is a room... Worse than this room. Like a garage. It's
probably
like
the size of this room. With things hanging around.
With like cloth hanging around to... The whole idea behind it. It does
like
kind of...
Like Mega 64 set from back in the day. Where
fucking
not
worse.
Not even as good.
Worse than Mega 64. Like at least they put some thought into it. But it starts off okay. It starts off in the desert. And it's all of them. And it's, oh, you know, we're going to play Russian roulette. And, you know, they have this internet series. And then, like, the talk show. I'm sorry. That didn't look a fucking bit like a talk show. It looked like someone's room, which is what it was.
And then when security throws him out of the front door of the house.
Of the house. And then when he leaves at the end, he goes back in to the same place.
Yeah.
But it just... I mean, him... I think he's a bit twitched as well, judging by Twitter. Mm. But It just... It was genuinely one of the worst things I've ever seen. I mean, halfway through it, Ollie was, like, banging his head against the chair.
Does it?
And that's that... Ollie. Like, he's fucking able to put up with anything.
But it really was insulting. I don't know. I think that was a big misstep from the Fright Fest people. Maybe it's because I know you and Jessica Cameron. I knew who she was because I had her on Twitter. I thought it was because I met her when I was in America.
No. Nope.
But it turns out she's just one of these people who whores herself out in terms of... if
she follows you and then she unfollows you, follows into you, we follow back. But she has a reputation for sending her friends after you if you say anything bad to her. And one of the sites I write for was warning people not to piss her off. I won't be reviewing this. I don't think Ollie's reviewing it either. Because I don't want to be at the mercy of a fucking lynch mob, nor do I want my quotes taken out of context to sell this piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it is a piece of shit. And it is offensive to horror fans. People watch this and think horror is crap. And it isn't. Like, we saw late phases.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We saw the fucking guest. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's really the most...
Like, as a filmmaker.
Juvenile idea of what a horror film is. She's directed this. She's written, directed, and starring in...
Mm-hmm.
I think she's co-writer or something like that. I don't know where she thought that this was a good idea. I mean, I really think maybe she was trying to do other things. She's a struggling actress who went, oh, you know what? I'm not getting the roles I want, so I'm going to be in a film, and I'm going to make it controversial, so I'm going to become popular. What's an easy genre to break into? Okay, horror is easy to break into. They just want blood and guts and sex.
Yeah.
And it's all nonsense. And the reality of it... So, okay, we've talked about before. There's a scene in it where...
Oh, yes.
Someone... Okay, first off, let's talk about escalation. So one of the guy's first dares he has to do...
Is eat glass, which is very effective.
Which is like, yeah, it's actually, that's quite creepy. I'm going to give that
back. Probably the scariest part of the whole film is this guy eating glass. That's a horrible thing to imagine, glass going down your throat.
And there was someone else who had to cut off his own nipples.
That was horrible.
Again, the idea of them is quite good.
The execution, but...
Quite good, Richard Waters.
Yeah, I'm be careful. the film was not
quite good, Richard Waters.
So, wait, can I just ask, what's up with her sending her fucking bitch mob after people?
Because that's who she is. That's the way
she can't take any criticism.
She showed up at the beginning of the screen and said, if, you know, people won't like this film, a lot of people won't like this film, what I say is, fuck you. What she means is, I want to be famous regardless of anything else. No one is allowed to say anything bad.
Let's not forget what she wore to this screening.
Yeah.
Was a white blazer with a bejeweled bra under it, heels, and nothing else.
Mm.
And I'm sorry, as a female who's there in a t-shirt and jeans fucking talking to Adam Green, like, no, that's not okay. If you feel like you need to do that, it's because you have no talent.
Yeah.
And
that's it. She was
presenting yourself that way.
She was all, you know, talk, all trying, all appearance. And, I mean, I've seen plenty of people who are the exact same, and they are all the actor, actresses kind of people. They're trying their best to be a hot shit just because they want to be. They want to be famous. They don't want to do anything artistic. They don't want to maintain any proper endeavor.
Don't push any boundaries.
They are literally there to be famous, and they don't care how they do it, you know. They don't give a shit, you know, if you could be fucking Darren Aronofsky and make an incredible film, and if you rub them up the wrong way, they wouldn't care.
But I mean, Adam Green, like, Digging Up the Marrow, that was pushing boundaries. That was something original, that was something clever, that was something brave.
Mm.
You know, what she did was, as you've said, look at horror as a whole and go, Saw, that did well. Hostel, that too. A Serbian film, that caused a lot of controversy. The reason the Serbian film caused a lot of controversy was because of one fucking scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't actually fit in with the narrative anyway, but, it was,
Well, I don't think you guys should feel scared to fucking give something a bad review because your dumbass friends are going to show up and give out to you guys.
I don't want my name dragged through the mud.
See, I don't want to say anything because I know exactly what will happen is it'll be twisted to saying, oh, this person's a hater
can't
on this film. They don't
can't
understand,
handle
they don't
it.
Like,
Didn't like, even I'm sure she'd take it as me being a jealous bitch that, like, oh, if you had tits like mine, you'd show them off.
Mm. That's it. I mean,
at least my tits aren't in my shoes.
The best thing with these kind of people is just not to give them any attention. I mean,
I
can see why we wouldn't even talk about this, but I don't want to be sort of seen. I don't want anyone to kind of be able to go, like, oh, well, you never said anything about it before. So, yeah, I have. I really thought it was the most rubbish film, I think. It was easily the most rubbish film at Fright Fest.
Oh, for sure.
I think that she was... her acting wasn't that bad.
The acting across the board was fine.
Fine, yeah.
It was fine.
I mean, there was that. The entire film itself, though, is rubbish as a whole. That will get itself released somehow, but only because of her and her militia of fame-seeking people.
The guy next to her, who's the lead actor, looked like he was embarrassed to be there.
He really did.
He looked like he was embarrassed to be standing next to her.
Yeah.
And the fact that somebody asked her, oh, do you think it's going to be censored? And she was like, oh, yeah, well, probably, and What was the part that she said everyone had a problem with? It wasn't the balls.
Yeah.
Was it the balls?
It was. She thought that people would have a problem with the bottle vagina thing. But it turned out, but in the UK, it seems
it
like
was
it's going to be...
It was the castration.
But that was boring and nonsense
boring
as well.
But do we,
I mean,
we just,
fucking, there's just, a castration in she that's much more effective than that.
Absolutely,
you know?
100%. And the effects are fucking more...
the effects in fucking in Truth or Dare were rubbish. I think it's okay. The film is rubbish.
We have to make reference to the wine bottle, because after we saw this, we picked Mark up. Ha! Like he's a hooker. We picked Mark, our biggest fan, up in the lobby, and he was laden down with gifts for us. He's such a big fan. He's wearing his Horror Lives t-shirt.
Yeah,
you know,
no gifts for me.
They're in the post.
I'm sure.
And he was so thrilled to meet us, and we were so glad that he didn't see that film. But we saw the next film, and we went to dinner, and one of the questions over dinner that Richard asked me was that somebody's asked to masturbate with a wine bottle, a woman. Right?
And okay, that was my point, is this comes after the eating glass.
Oh, yeah,
and they couldn't have your own nipples. And then a woman is told she has to masturbate with a wine bottle.
Which Richard says, is that actually such a bad thing? Would you not just get the tip and rub it against your clit?
Or just put it, insert it.
Well, I said to him...
I have seen people...
Yeah. Well, sorry, it was on Big Brother. Jade Goody did it. It was either Jade Goody or the other one did it on Big Brother.
Right.
Fucking masturbated with a beer bottle. But Richard said to me, if you were in that position, God forbid, what would you do? And I said, I'd do what you said. I'd just rub it against my clit. She doesn't. She can't do it. The brother who she's been fucking has to do it. He shoves it up her. And
but
he
we're
shoves
related.
Only by blood. What is wrong with this family? Dad, that's mom. Anyway, he shoves it up her and he's shoving it. And then something happens. And I thought, as I think you and Ollie did too, that it had broken. Mm. And
like glass ass.
That it had glass in her. Mm. But then he pulls it out and her womb appears to come with it.
See, I thought at first that she was the transsexual. And then I thought, okay, well maybe it's kind of saying like because she's transsexual, the surgery means that she might be more prone to that. But I thought that was stupid first off.
Yeah.
But then when I realised, oh no, this isn't that woman. Okay, so this is nonsense. Oh, and wait, this is a female writer. Does she not understand?
Like female anatomy at all? But it was a very bizarre sequence, and it was obviously designed to shock.
Hmm.
And it shocked me only because I thought, is that even possible?
It shocked me because I was wondering, why would someone think that this is an idea that is worthwhile putting into a film that is anyway legitimate, anyway... Okay, not okay.
Do you know what was scarier than that? What was scarier than that was the Green Inferno when they had the little knife and were putting it up each one to see if they were a virgin, which we didn't understand at the time and thought they were checking to see if they were on the rag.
Mm.
And we were like, oh, she was on the rag. And then we're told by Scullion's girlfriend, no, they were checking to see her hymen, and it was like, oh. But that, to me, is much more terrifying than this wine bottle somehow pulled out someone's womb.
Right, because there's an actual fucking reason.
So
it sounds really dumb.
It was shock for shock's
sake, and not even in a good way.
But it was stupid shock. It was the most heartless film you'll ever see. It's not shocking. It's not controversial.
It was mindless as well.
It's mindless self-indulgence of someone trying to be famous.
They're a good band.
Yeah, dude.
Jesus, but only it was that.
Huh.
There's absolutely no redeeming factor to this film. And I don't want to say that in a way to, you know, kind of trying to make it sound like a Serbian film, controversial or anything.
No,
it's
boring.
Not. It is rubbish, you know. If you gave a camera to a 12-year-old, they come back with a better film that's probably more poignant and more disgusting than this.
It's unbelievably boring and mind-numbingly so. And also the rules change, because it is a game of truth or dare, but the rules keep changing and the characters are pointing out that the rules are changing.
Yeah, and the camera doesn't seem to be consistent. Yeah. They keep being turned on and off and pointing at one thing when it should be pointing at another and then it is doing it automatically. Like,
and if he's if this is being auto-uploaded to YouTube, which is fair enough, because that's how they set it up, why haven't the police come?
Mm.
Why isn't anybody worried about the fact that they appear to be held hostage by this crazy person?
I know that
gets out of life, so...
But that's what happens is that nothing happens. Nobody cares. And that's what pisses him off, is that nobody gives a shit.
Mm.
Which I suppose is kind of funny in a way.
Mm. But it's trying to make a point about the YouTube generation, but it doesn't know what point it's trying to make, and it doesn't succeed in its point. I think you're after giving it more credence than it actually needs right there. You know, I mean, they get the comments and he gets pissed off because someone disagrees with him. I don't think this film was aware enough to be able to go, oh, people don't actually care enough to help.
People don't care. Mm. Was that the point? But the final film we saw, did we see?
No, we saw another one before that.
Sorry, what did we see in between?
So in between was another big one of the
first row. Oh shit, I totally forgot.
That when I spoiled it and said I think everyone was disappointed by.
Did you hear though that it was -1 short? We got a short less.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
If you watch the trailer, I didn't even notice this because I haven't watched the trailer in ages. In the trailer, there's a bit that everyone was like, what the fuck? That didn't even show up in the film. It was minus one short. Huh. And nobody seems to know why. Now, whether that's the final cut, but our cut was, say, 81 minutes, and on IMDb, it's 97 or something.
Oh, 97 is a big discrepancy.
Yeah, but now, I don't know how true that is. I don't know if people are just talking, but I think that was one of the major problems I had with it, was that there were only three fucking shorts.
And of course, we were talking about VHS Viral, the newest and final installment in the VHS series.
Final.
From our friends in Bloody Disgusting. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what else to say. Like, the first two, it's a found footage anthology of, you know, it's found footage films put together with a narrative, a story, tied them all together. And the first two are, they can be hit and miss, but in general, they're watchable.
I loved the first one because it was so goosebumps.
Mm. Second one I enjoyed a lot, mainly because of the cult one and the zombie one, which were both
silly,
amazing.
Yeah.
Both done by big directors. This one didn't have any big directors really behind them. And there was it Paolo or whatever, Pablo? Who's the guy?
Nacho.
Nacho, who had lots of films at Fright Fest this year. I don't know who he is.
Like, VHS 2 was definitely stronger than VHS 1, for sure. And then VHS 3 or VHS 5 or whatever one you call it, kind of dropped the ball. The first short was excellent, the Goosebumpsy short. And then the second one was kind of okay, and then the third one was just rubbish.
Mm.
Like, the second one was kind of, you know, an alternate reality, and, you know, don't want to spoil it, but it was done quite well. The third one was like kids, really irritating kids with GoPros, going to fucking TJ to see a cult or some shit about Satanists. I don't know.
Yeah. That one, a lot of people seem to kind of enjoy that one for some reason. I like the monster-y kind of Satanist people, but the actual short itself is very long, very boring. It's literally skateboard videos, and then, oh, these people are attacking, let's hit them with our skateboards.
And it was very, considering.
Really?
Yeah, the kids fight back and kill them. It's terrible. It's just like, what?
Apparently there was a segment cut out. According to IMDb, a segment called Gorgeous Vortex was cut from early screenings and no one knows why yet.
Yep, there you go.
So maybe that'll change the context of it.
Too much footage of Gorgeous George.
Woo!
It was very disappointing. It was. And I think the ending, because that was the first film Mark saw because he missed Truth or Dare. Mm. Well done, Mark. And I think he was kind of like...
No way, he didn't fuck up.
He looked up. I think even he was like, what the hell was that ending?
Mm.
The ending was very unclear. I know we kind of discussed it at length after.
I have an idea of what it means, but at the same time, it didn't feel like it went...
It wasn't well established.
No. Nothing about the wraparound story was well established, though.
There was too much kind of cutting and chopping and changing, and we're here now. And,
I mean, all the other ones are fairly straightforward.
What was the plot of this one?
The wraparound.
Yeah.
The wraparound is about a couple.
Mm. One of them's video obsessed.
Yeah. So it's all like, why are you filming me? And it's like, good, die.
So then there's a car chase going on near them. So he wants to film it while she's being pissed off at him. He goes out to film it. And then she walks out and disappears. It looks like she might be hit by a car, but she actually just disappears.
Yeah.
And for some reason takes it as a cue to follow the ambulance around.
Ice cream truck and he follows it, and it keeps cutting back, but then it cuts back to other people throughout Los Angeles as well, like the couple in the taxi and stuff.
Yeah. It's really hard, because, I mean, like, that's pretty much what it is. It's him chasing an ice cream truck for, you know, an hour and a half, well, the wraparounds are an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an ending to it.
That sounds like a really dumb dream you have, where you wake up and go, like...
Yeah, what was I thinking?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, the ending to it, it seems like it was completely pointless. Like, he doesn't seem like he needed to be a part of it at all for what the end action actually is.
And
which is weird, because, like, the first... Two had like
proper wraparounds.
They were proper, like
with proper shocks as well.
And it was hinting at like this bigger
conspiracy,
universe that like all these the tape collectors.
Well, that's what this. We don't want to spoil it, obviously, but that's what this kind of comes to fruition at the end, but not in any meaningful way, and not in a clear way, and not. It's not enough for you to leave the theater going, whoa, the three of them really fucking came together, huh?
Right.
No, it's. It was tacked on, basically.
Yeah.
Somebody, and I don't know who, but somebody at Bloody Disgusting or whatever thought, oh, this is really fucking clever. This is really going to shock you when he opens the ice cream truck and...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, in terms of... I didn't think the VHS films could jump the shark, but apparently they can, and did.
Okay, I'm going to spoil that for myself later.
But I will say this.
You won't feel like you spoiled anything.
Okay. The Goosebumps segment with the cape was fucking brilliant.
Because I do think...
Loved it.
I do think the strength of the VHS... the wraparounds is that they bring in like this maybe these are all tapes that exist in the same...
Being put somewhere together, exactly.
Like, I love it. It's got such a World of Darkness, which I'm going to out myself as a humongous nerd by mentioning World of Darkness. But it has such, like, this World of Darkness, like, conspiracy theory mixed with kind of snuff tape collector kind of thing going on. That just seems like it has so much potential to it. Just as something that you could continue with and not really ever... You don't really have to reveal anything about that, I don't feel, because you can just keep making anthologies, but yeah. I guess this is the last one. So maybe they felt like they had to...
But I don't know why they did
that. I don't know why.
Because it seems like the way they did it, now they've kind of put a kind of a nail in a coffin. And, like, I mean, with this ending, I've kind of looked back at the other two wraparounds and gone, okay, well, I can kind of see the escalation, maybe.
Even
then, it feels like it's a massive reach, and maybe they were doing something that no one else noticed. And
I don't know if
it's only in hindsight with someone going like, "Hey, I meant this." Like, oh, I guess I can see that.
I hate to say this, but I don't know if it was a case that people didn't want to be involved in it anymore because they had such a strong, you know, group of directors and filmmakers in the first one and the second one, and this one it was all fucking nobodies. Like, we were going, who, what? I remember Gavin originally posted on my Facebook and said, "Oh, you know, are you excited? Do you see anyone here?" Mm-hmm. I went through every single one and kind of went. They were all sort of newcomers, which is fine, but then why this? Why not fucking ABC's a shit?
Yeah.
Which again is coming back.
So has this been like 1 year?
Don't know.
Maybe 1 year.
It has actually, because Frank was last year.
We saw the first one at when I was doing the O'Briens, so it must be, yeah.
Yeah, 1 year.
Maybe 1 year was just too much.
Could be. So we finished Fright Fest on kind of a dull note as well.
Right.
With a very strange choice to close the festival.
Not with a bang,
With the signal, which started off quite clever. I preferred it when it was about hacking, and when it was, you know,
Can't stop the signal.
Because I like Brenton Thwaites a lot. I did not like the annoying girl from Bates Motel, who I don't like in Bates Motel, and I did not like in this, because she's annoying. Mm. But I thought the cinematography was gorgeous. I thought the whole road trip idea was great. I thought the fact they were going to go see them was great. And then when Larry Fishburne turned up and this hazmat suits and stuff, I just fell asleep.
I was okay with that. It's just it never really went from there anywhere. And I sort of, not very long into that, I had an idea of what I could imagine it going to.
Yeah.
And it did. And it just took a long time to get there. And I think if you're an audience member with half a brain, you're going to reach the same conclusion I did pretty quick.
Unless you're Ollie.
Unless you're Ollie. Who completely didn't catch it.
Who missed the ending.
That was the best part of the day.
It's okay, sweetie. It's okay.
Oh, my God. It's... Because the beginning of it, it's like, you know, they're moving the girl across, the girlfriend, who's going to be his ex-girlfriend, and this guy, I don't know what he has, but he has some sort of disease, it's like motor neuron disease or something, that's slowly debilitating, he's losing use of his legs and stuff.
That was, again, a great twist.
That was quite nice. I mean, I like when those things are included in a film and not necessarily what the film is about. I like it by late phases, the man is blind, but that's not necessarily, that's not what the film is about whatsoever.
Yeah.
With this one, I mean, that does kind of come back into it.
When he gets Transformer legs.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, he gets Transformer legs.
Well, it doesn't really explain.
What?
Yeah.
So essentially, Larry Fishburne is part of a kind of government-seeming operation who are trying to see what's going on. They've had an alien encounter, and it doesn't really go anywhere from there.
There's a lot of him sitting at a table across from Larry Fishburne.
Yeah, it spends an awful lot of time in that area. It doesn't explain... Why? I mean, it doesn't actually explain why they're so focused on it. It doesn't explain what happens to the others.
No.
Because you do see the others. The girl is in a coma. The guy has saying he's having a problem with his hands. You never really understand what's happened to the girl because she kind of is a slightly catatonic in a way.
It affects her more than it affects him. She seems kind of sleepy and dozy and...
But it doesn't explain
he's
why.
Fine and...
I mean, okay, gorgeously shot, well acted, great score, all that kind of thing. The story was very lame. The way it ended really felt like that's where it should have been about, you know, halfway through the film.
Just went nowhere.
It really
in
did.
That you mean there should have been more?
Oh, yeah. Like, it shouldn't, I mean, it should have been shorter in that, like, I mean, where the ending of the film was should have happened at maybe the 45-minute mark.
Yes.
And then there should have been an entire other half hour, 45 minutes to kind of have something happen.
Yeah.
It felt very underwhelming. And again, if you were watching it, you'll know what's going to happen. You'll know what the twist and turn is.
Because there's no other way it could go.
And I mean, at one point, it seemed like maybe it was going to go a different way. And I thought, oh, if they faked my twist, and then they didn't.
No.
It was a weird downer of a film to end on because the Fright Fest people, they were saying like, okay, it's a weird choice, but you're going to see why we chose it while you're watching it.
Like it's sci-fi and we know it's not technically horror and blah, blah, blah. And it just felt like I would have sooner ended on stage fright. You know what I mean?
I mean, it would have been a bad film, but at the same time, it would have been a fun film.
Yeah.
It was a really bad choice for a finishing film. And I think, I don't know how it got, how it was the film to close with.
What did it close with last year? I know we didn't watch it. Last year was
Big Bad Wolves, wasn't it?
Yeah, which isn't a bad film. That an amazing film, though. That got really good reviews.
It's on Netflix now. I'll mm-hmm. watch it. Yeah, Signal, bit of a downer. So, essentially, every day, apart from the last day, it was great. But the last day, we had like four or five stinkers in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, because Mark came all the way down from wherever, Middlesbrough, wherever he's from. Was it like 7 or 8 hours on a bus to come see two bad movies?
To see two bad movies and to see us and have us talk about crap.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I thought the Friday Fest experience was great. The view was it was a change of venue. It was weird in one way in that, and they seemed to know all the problems, being that the tickets thing was a problem,
mm-hmm.
The way the staggered screenings, the three different screens was a problem, in that, you know, they kind of had crappy intros now this year.
And there were no repeats.
Yeah, no repeats, which I think they think was a good thing. I'm not quite
sure. I don't think it was a good thing. I feel like, I can't think of anything we missed, apart from Life After Beth, that I would have watched, but I think... I don't know, there wasn't so much buzz this year. Last year there was buzz around Willow Creek and there was buzz around other films, and that's why they were screened again. Was it a case of nothing sold out? Like, I can't remember anything being sold out. Digging Up the Marrow was pretty close.
Yeah. I think for them as well, I mean, they know that, like, the family atmosphere was broken up a bit by these screens.
Yeah. But the bar was great.
The bar area was great. Where they had the cassette, the, like, merch and stuff was great.
Yeah.
In general, like, the up and downness going to different screens was fine.
Yeah, it was okay.
Getting food and all that seemed relatively good.
I think we didn't have any, there was definitely no delay getting in or getting out, which was a problem last year.
Yeah.
That there would be sort of a rush, and when you need to get to the red carpet, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And so at least we didn't have any of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if they fix a few problems, it's a good sort of change of venue.
Yeah, I was happy with it in the end, I was. Yeah. It was easier to access than the Empire, to be honest.
Yeah. And we had a great hotel, so that helped.
That's true.
Yeah, so that was our Fright Fest experience. Any other thoughts on it, Joe?
Shout out to Mark, who travelled all the way down to see us. Shout out to Ollie, who licked my butt the whole time. That's right, while I farted.
Sounds like you.
Ew! Obviously big thank you to Andy from UK Horror Scene, who hooked us up with media passes, and we had such a wonderful time doing interviews, and we met so many wonderful people, apart from the man with the hat, we don't like.
As this goes up, when this goes up, and the two parts, actually by the time the second part of this podcast goes up, probably all the videos will be up online.
Probably, yeah.
Depending we'll get to see Joey be all like, oh,
we'll share them, yeah.
Who am I?
That's hilarious. This is in your mind. You, like, he asked you what was your name. You stopped and didn't know. In the recording, it's like, what's your name? Joanne.
I know that's not my name. That's my whole point, Richard.
That's not my name.
So you're gonna split it into two.
Yeah, I'm gonna split.
Do you want us to? Will we do a little intro now for the second part?
Fucking. You hang on, you fucking assholes. For fuck's sake.
Hassles.
Get the fucking stall the fucking ball, lads.
What ball? There's no ball here.
That's good. There are people who aren't Irish who are going to hear that and not know what stall the ball is. But what's coming up next for you?
Next for me is a whole load of Fright Fest reviews.
A big poop in the toilet. Okay. What about you, Richard? What's the next
one Fright Fest review I really have to try and write. I'm having so much problems.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's stuff I can't really talk about yet, but you guys are aware of some of them, so it's going to be fun.
Peter?
We'll talk about here.
Peter?
I don't know what Richard's
saying. What's up for you?
It's film
stuff. I got a game due in like a week or something.
Cool.
I'm not 100% sure on the day. It's the 14th, I think.
Awesome. So 6 days before your birthday?
This day next week, actually.
Woohoo!
Whatever, no one will hear this in time. So it'll be done by the time you hear this.
Wait.
I think Mark and Ollie are listening.
Who cares? You got wrestling stuff to write?
Yeah, definitely.
You're going, when's the next pay-per-view is soon, but you're going to see
the one after that? Yeah. But there'll be loads of Horror Lives between then.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Hell in a Cell.
And then we're doing Raw the night after.
I'm getting a new tattoo.
You getting a new tattoo?
Yeah.
Where'd you get a new tattoo? For your life's sake.
I put it up on Twitter. You should have paid attention. So.
Oh, we've been over this.
Yeah, so I think that's all of our business. So we're going to... I'm actually going to see
Salute party for fucking once.
Yeah. Can't wait to see what you think.
Is it Woo-hoo! In Turkish?
Not this one.
Not this one.
Oh, although I could get like make a version with Greek subtitles just for you.
Don't do that.
I spent fucking days of my life trying to make Greek subtitles. Ugh. Ugh. Anyway.
You're weird. Okay, yeah, so follow Joey at Joeyology.
Yep.
Follow Richard at Rich M Waters.
And are we allowed to say what your one is to follow?
Yeah, at Chewhead _art. It's my art. I don't really talk about horror, I just talk about my art. So, yeah, and my personal one is dumb, and I just give out about our neighbor's kids. and then we're at Horrorlives.
Woo!
Also, horrorlives@gmail.com.
Like us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/horrorlives.
And we're on
And
I'll iTunes.
Publish somewhere.
Yeah,
too.
We're on iTunes.
We're on iTunes, and those are all the places we're on, actually.
That's a lot of places.
Uh-huh.
Not enough places. We rule. Yeah. Well, we're something.
So, I mean, how many of those places do we check regularly?
I check the Twitter all the time.
Yeah? Do people send stuff?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Sorry, do people tweet with us?
Yeah, got time.
That guy is following 13,000 people. He will never see a single tweet.
He favorited us.
Yeah. But you know when you get followed by someone who has like, they're following like 2,000 people, you're like, they'll never see anything I ever say. They'll never talk to me.
Yeah.
I will never interact with this person correctly.
Yeah.
I hate people on Twitter, sorry. The last couple of days has just been like, oh, hey, because I always think of Twitter and someone following you as being like, oh, yeah, like, someone's interested in your work, someone wants to be friends or something, and then it's like, oh, no, it turns out this is just...
It's an author. an independent author.
Yeah, or some shit.
Yeah, and it's like they have two followers and, like, they're following 13,000 people, and you're like, oh, okay. Or I've been... Sarah also has been having this trouble.
Yeah, she
I hate
does.
To bring her up on Twitter, but... Again, but... She got followed by Grumpy Cat 3 times this week.
Yeah, I saw.
Three different fake Grumpy Cats. I've been followed by, like, 4. I've been followed by these 2, like, fake humor ones that are, like... One of them was, is it funny? I was like, oh, you're pretty fucking passive-aggressive. Thanks, asshole. and, like... Like, seriously, like, 3 different... Edgar Allan Poe account.
Yeah, it's weird.
I've never even mentioned Edgar Allan Poe. What the fuck? What am I saying that's flagging this?
Should we stop recording?
Maybe you said Edgar Wright.
But yeah, fuck you, Twitter. Fuck you. Fuck you. No, you don't want to end this on something funny? Yeah, no,
I thought that was funny.
You're not stopping, are you?
No.
Because we're going to have to do... Are we going to do 2 outros?
No, we don't need to do 2 outros. No one cares. No one cares. 2 people listen to our podcast.
Should we stop now before it gets really awkward?
It's already awkward.
I have to go to Tesco.
Hey, I'll swallow your soul! I'll swallow your soul! I'll swallow your soul!
Swallow this.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.